First foot down for North Carolina, but guess what? What? It's been worth. Hey guys, Chuck here. So unfortunately, my laptop suffered a major accident right before we were getting ready to record tonight, because of course that happens. But we did manage to get the audio from Ebony's phone. We had set it on the table, and we hit record, so hopefully we picked everything up. Hopefully it sounds okay. Please forgive us for the audio quality. We're going to try and figure this whole thing out. But until then, sit back, relax, and enjoy the Dave Sarikin event at London Bridge Pub.
I'm Dean Linke, proud to be the longtime voice of the club and proud to be with each and every one of you. So many smiling faces that I see walking around the stadium. Good to be here with you as we start the new year with big news, obviously, with the hiring of Dave Sarikin, a proven winner. He comes from the U.S. national team. He won MLS Cups with Bruce Arena at L.A. He won two Open Cups as the head coach of the Chicago Fire. He also took his team to the MLS Cup Championship, where he also won the Supporters Shield. He's coached effectively at every level, and he's ready now to do it for our club. One more time for Dave Sarikin. And only fittingly, because you're kind enough to let us tie into the 6-Point Weekend podcast, the first question comes from the talented Jonathan Duren. Jonathan, take it away.
Good to meet you.
Good to meet you as well, Dave.
Thank you.
So, first of all, welcome to the North State. Welcome to Oak City, Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm a transplant myself, so how have you been settling in? What's it been like in your first whirlwind fierce hours here?
Well, it's been busy. It's been a good busy day for me. I flew in yesterday, had a little delay, but got met at the airport and joined Steve and a bunch of us for a nice meal last night, and went to bed and got going all day today. It's been busy. It's been great. The energy, not only in this room, but today at the press conference, throughout all the people I've met, has been terrific. So I haven't had a whole lot of time to sit back and relax, but that's all part of it. It's been great.
So you're the new head coach of North Carolina FC. Not every soccer player, not even every athlete wants to be a coach. I don't want to be a coach. but what got you started into coaching, and tell us about your journey of you starting off and ended up here?
That's a great question. I don't know how much time I want to. It goes back quite a ways, to be honest. But I was a product of the generation where we had the old league, the North American Soccer League, the original North American Soccer League. And I grew up in Rochester, New York, where we had the Lancers, if anybody knows the Rochester Lancers from back in the day. So as a young kid, I was too small for Pop Warner football. I had a neighbor that played soccer. I had a hedgerow. I had all these bushes in front of my house that I could dribble through, and I just fell in love with the game watching the Lancers, and I was pretty good at it. Went to college, played in college, got drafted by my hometown team, the Lancers, played professionally outdoor and indoor, and I knew that this sport was for me, and was hoping that I would coach one day, and got into coaching in 84 at Virginia, yes, okay. You want to turn that down? Is that okay? when I said Virginia, they said, turn it down. I've just enjoyed the coaching for many years. I've had... All right, okay.
You said Virginia, Coach.
I know. I threw it into a tizzy. But anyway, that was the origin of it all, and I didn't know one day I'd be the national team coach. I didn't know one day I'd be here. It's sort of a path that sort of goes in all different directions in terms of opportunity. But I was a college coach for 9 years at Cornell University, and then I got a call from Bruce Arena when the league started and asked me if I wanted to join DC United. And, you know, sometimes when you get an opportunity, there's a couple different ways you can go. You can play it safe. I could have been a college coach, my whole career, but I felt like I wanted to push for what was next in the next chapter, and I took the leap of faith and joined Bruce at MLS, and the rest is kind of history. So here I am.
And one of those chapters along the way, I spent some time at Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
You won a Supporters Shield and an Open Cup, for which I am grateful. And you're coming here to North Carolina FC, where we were Southern Derby champions last year.
All right.
So how do you plan to bring that success here to this club?
Well, I don't make any predictions, but I can tell you that whether it's the national team, whether it's the Chicago Fire, college, club, there's certain fundamentals that never change. It's building the right culture within a team, having good training, bringing guys along in a way that they're in a good environment to improve. Obviously, I have to get to know the current returning players well here. We're going to build our roster. We've been working on it each and every day. And then it's a process. It's not something that can happen overnight. But I think in all my experiences, in all the teams I've had, let's face it, and I heard many coaches say this, you're a better coach with better players. But I think the environment that you create to allow players to be themselves and sort of show their personality is important. So I hope to bring that here to the table and obviously bring good players to the club, and it'll show on the field.
At the press conference today, we talked about the fact that Ernie Stewart said that he felt like Dave Sarokin deserves to win an award for the job he did holding the U.S. national team together. Talking about that experience and bringing it now to North Carolina FC, how will that help you in your new role?
Yeah, it was an amazing year. Obviously, we were all gutted not being a part of the World Cup, and then you put that to bed. And I had 13 months as the head coach of the national team. As you know, one of my stops was here, and that was, made a great impression on me. But the group that I had throughout the year, it just reinforced a lot of things in terms of giving young players a chance, allowing players to make mistakes, allowing players to grow within the system that you create and the environment you create. It reinforced that I think whenever you have a team, and all the teams that I've coached have had the right blend of youth and experience, there's an expression, piano players and piano carriers. And you need some piano players. You do. As I said, you're a better coach with better players. But I think having the right blend and just reinforce the idea that if you create the right environment, you can get results. So this year, for me personally, was very refreshing. I think I left the U.S. men's national team in a position where I believe that Greg now can sort of take it from where we left with a lot of these young guys and move them along. And I felt very good about that process. So,
it's here for Dan.
Yeah. Thank you.
You mentioned your time with the national team. While you didn't really get a chance to really spend too much time there since you were in the interim, but we got to see that you like to attack. Is that something that you like to bring here to North Carolina FC?
You know, I do. I think, one of the things that as I mentioned just a minute ago, I think it's really important that you allow players to be themselves. And if you can build a team that has speed and power and technical ability, you know, the modern game is a game that requires 90 minutes of a lot of fitness. And I like teams that are aggressive in the final third. I like teams that try to be collective in terms of winning the ball back immediately. And so, you know, if we can get the right personnel in this group, you're going to see a team that will be hopefully playing without any fear and that will be aggressive in the final third. And I can tell you it's a process, guys. You know, as fans, I hear and read. I don't read as much anymore. I stay away from that. But the one thing I would tell you that it is a process, and I can assure you that by me coming here, we're going to do everything we can to get the best players, blend the right ingredients, put a product in the field that you're proud of. And on nights where we don't look so good and you're frustrated, believe me, we're frustrated. We're all in this together. And one thing I did learn in Chicago with Section 8 and their supporters group, how valuable people like yourselves are to support us. I know there's going to be days where you're not happy with us, but I can assure you the process will be proper and we're going to do things the right way, and hopefully the results show that.
Dave, at the press conference earlier today, you talked about the three factors influencing your next hire as being the people, the place, and the project, and that NCFC ticked off all those boxes, if you could elaborate on that a little bit.
No, I talked about that today. You know, obviously, when the national team position ended, I had some decisions to make. What was my next move? I still had what I call gas in the tank to coach. I love coaching. I have the energy. You still have to have that. And so when our discussions happened with Steve and Kurt Johnson, who I met back in March, and I've known Kurt on and off over the years, didn't get to know Steve as well. But one of the things that in all of my stops where I've enjoyed it the most is the people that I'm surrounded with and the people I work with. And it starts with the owner, Steve Malik. You know, you need a guy that is ambitious. Without him, this doesn't exist, right? And so we had good conversations, and obviously with Kurt, a proven executive. And so meeting with and being around the right people that have the same vision of things and the same ideas of things was very important to me. So that's the people part of things. The middle part was
place.
The last was the place, then the project. I was trying to get the order. The place is, the Raleigh, and I talked about it today at the press conference. In 2002, when I was with Bruce and we had the national team, some of you may remember, we were here for a month, and we prepared for the 2002 World Cup. And even back then, I mean, obviously this place has blown up. It's grown tremendously. But it was a huge impression, terrific memories of preparation for what still is historically the best World Cup performance a U.S. team's had. So I credit you guys on that. I credit this area for that, for sure. And the project. The project is to come in and build a team. Just build a team. Continue to use the group that the core group that we're bringing back, who some of them are here tonight, and I got to meet them at the press conference. Make additions. Bring in some young guys. Hopefully bring in some veterans. That also is a process. So it was those three factors that checked a lot of boxes for me to say, this is a great project and I want to be a part of it.
I'm a question back. You mentioned that you don't read much anymore. I'll tell you that we do. On Twitter, you mentioned something about short corners at the 2018 World Cup. For those of us in this room, I know we spent many a night singing No More Short Corners.
Are you clapping because you don't like them or you do like them?
I don't like them.
Okay, fair enough.
That's the guy that spearheaded that chant.
Okay.
He spearheaded that chant.
Okay, okay.
But talk a little bit about your set piece philosophy and what you hope to bring and implement here.
Oh, boy. Get tall guys that can head. or little guys that can jump. That's fine, too.
Austin DeLuce.
Right, right. Austin, where's Austin? All right. Look, I will say this, that, and you guys know this because you follow it, but statistically, it's a huge part of the game. It really is. The organization of it on both sides, defensively and on the attack. And, we've spent a lot more time, I know, over this past year with the national team. We're not together a lot, but when we do get together, we spend time on set pieces and restarts. And you need a guy that can serve. You need movement and... it's a big part of it. So we'll spend time on it, but hopefully we get the right personnel that can deliver it and execute.
Sticking with style here, based on Jonathan's question, when you were with the national team, you set records in that time, introducing young guns, giving them their first chance to earn their first cap, while you also kept an eye on the veterans. What's your plan here? And with that, I do want to just one segue and salute John Bradford and Nick Platter, who are also part of the coaching staff. They're here as well. Let's hear for John and Nick.
Right.
So how are you going to do that? Mix the youngsters in with the veterans.
Well, again, we got to get the group together and really get to know them and see them. I've been a part of teams that are so anxious to get young guys in. And the balance, sometimes it's a difficult balance, not only for the team, but for the individual. So to just put a young guy in a position where he may fail doesn't help him, doesn't help the team. And I think it's you know, philosophically, we all, and I just learned this over the past year, you know, youth is great, energy is important, enthusiasm, but they have to be ready for the failures and successes. And so we have to be careful with it. But I think if you get the right balance, it can offset some of the, you know, like I was saying, with the veteran guys that may be a little older and you get some young guys, that blend, I've seen that formula work. It worked in 2002 when we had Beasley and Donovan, who were 18 and 19, who we took a chance on with veterans like, I don't know, Eddie Pope, Tony Sane, I could go on and on. And all the teams I've been a part of, the blend has been right. So here, if in a perfect world, we'd love to be able to blend the youth, bring them along the right way, offer them the opportunity, and see them grow and develop. And if we have the right leadership, it mentors them as well.
You talked about on your journey being involved in soccer on all different levels. You played in the original NASL, you coached in MLS, coached the national team, coached at the college level, but now you're coming into the USL. We're just in our second season, so we're still trying to get our foothold as well. But what are your impressions as you come into the league?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, the USL, and I alluded to this today at the press conference, it's become, or I should say it's becoming, very relevant on the landscape of American soccer. You know, MLS, you know, gets the headlines. We know that. They have the types of budgets that can bring Ibrahimovic to the league. We know that. And I was a part of all that. What intrigued me about coming here and being a part of this particular program and also in the USL is it's becoming more and more relevant in terms of the development of players. I think it, you know, the trend with Major League Soccer has been tilted a little bit to bring in a lot of young foreign guys, which now diminishes playing time for the American kid. And I think USL, the product is improving. I think the franchises seem to be improving as well in terms of their facilities, their infrastructure, and I think it's only going to grow and be more relevant as it moves along. So I'm still getting used to the league, and I don't know the teams well. I'm going to get up to speed pretty quick.
But we hate Charlotte.
You hate Charlotte. All right. Let me make a note of that. Hold on. Hate Charlotte. All right. Anyone else we don't like? Okay, we'll talk after. We'll talk after. Yeah, yeah. Well, rivalries are good.
So, by the way, Jonathan does have a microphone that we can send out there. So if you want to ask a question to Dave, raise your hand and we'll make sure that you don't want that. Okay. All right, well, then we'll just keep it right here. Well, along those lines, you talked about USL. This group right here, I'll never forget it. It was one of the great days in soccer, the 919 to MLS day. This group led a charge from London Bridge Pub downtown. They were electrifying. They were awesome. As you sit, knowing what you know about MLS, tell us what you think about the future of perhaps this team making it to MLS.
Well, I was asked that earlier on a radio show, was that part of the reason that I came here? And it really wasn't the part of the reason, but as he brought that notion up, and even back in March when there was talk about that, when you look at this region, the soccer interest, the talent here, the rivalries that could happen in within the radius of whatever miles that might be, whether it's Atlanta and so forth, D.C., it checks so many boxes for the potential of an MLS franchise to succeed here. So I think for sure this is an area that should be considered strongly.
Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Good deal.
All right. So let's flash back to last March. You're here with the national team at Salem Stadium at Wake Med Soccer Park.
Yep.
Thank you. And you got to see what this stadium can do. You had the South Stand full with American Outlaws. Now you get to have us behind you. How excited are you to have us on Saturdays?
Hey, right here. It's very exciting. Very exciting. Listen, I said it earlier, and it's true, you know, and you've seen it more and more now in all the markets, certainly in MLS with the supporters groups and how important they are, and it's just growing and growing and growing. you know, the experience we had and I had in March was fabulous. We won the game, as you know. We beat Paraguay here. And I will tell you this, and part of my experience with the national team, everywhere we go, the majority of the fans aren't always wearing the red, white, and blue because of the teams we play. When we came here, it absolutely helped us. We felt like it was a real home game. And the environment, the atmosphere was fabulous when you can fill a stadium like that. I don't know if we'll get a full crowd every home game here. Our goal is obviously to pack it as best we can because it's a terrific venue. So it meant a lot. It really did.
Did you hear the trumpet guy? I hope that you
is he here tonight?
He's here.
Oh, you! That was you. Oh yeah, I heard you.
The trumpet guy.
The trumpet guy. All right,
Dave. Lot to do, right? You start in March. Short-term, immediate plans.
Yeah.
That you've got to check off right away as you start to think about preseason.
Yeah. I got to get my wife here. Get her liking this place. In 3 weeks, we do have preseason started. With Nick and John and our whole crew, we're working on roster talk every day. I'll be going to the combine tomorrow with John. It's just building this roster and getting a group ready for February 4th. It's going to be a different kind of process for me than I'm used to, and so I'm still getting my head around how the roster will come together. So that's the immediate concern because we're only as good as the players we can bring in, and we're going to try to bring in a good group of guys to get started right away for March 9th against Louisville.
Yeah. All right, so Dave, with the podcast with 6 Point Weekend, we have a few rapid fire questions.
Oh boy,
we like ask our guests.
You didn't prep me on this.
That's part of the fun.
Okay.
All right, so we're going through this. There's pretty easy questions. All right, mountains or beach?
Beach.
Apple or Google?
Apple.
Morning.
Brian likes that.
Mornings or night?
Mornings.
You have a $1 million bonus. What's the first thing you buy?
Boat. Did someone say a boat? Yeah, I'm not a boater. $1 million bonus? God, what am I going to buy? I give it to charity. There you go. Not all of it, but most of it.
Highest point in your career?
Right now.
Your answer for me, that's good.
Lowest point in your career?
No. I haven't had a lot of low points in my career, I'll be honest with you. Not going to the World Cup in 2017. That was it.
Do you have any pre-match rituals or superstitions?
There's usually a playlist I play. Yeah, I usually listen to if we win, I'm going to continue using that playlist. If not, I switch it up.
What's on the playlist?
Oh, God, that was, it's been a little while, but it was Eric Clapton, Stevie Winwood live in Madison Square Garden.
Pretty solid.
All right, you know, what can I say? There's other things too, but that was one of them.
The thing most people don't know about you is blank.
I'm really not this short in person.
He's also extremely funny. Favorite movie?
Oh my God, that's Scent of a Woman, Al Pacino. And Shawshank.
Favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show, Breaking Bad.
Best advice or words of wisdom that you've ever received?
Actions speak louder than words.
All right, so the moment that I know you've been waiting for.
Oh God.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Yeah! Bad answer, right? Bad answer.
It's okay.
As Steve Malik says, a hot dog's a hot dog. Well, obviously, those are great questions to get to know these great, great supporters. You talked about what you built with the Chicago Fire. It's important for you and the players to connect with the Oak City supporters and all the fans club, right, Dave?
You said what's important? Or
it's important.
No, no. And not because you're in the room, but it is massively important that we have your support. You have to understand that, and I've learned this over my many years of coaching, what goes on the inside, you'll never really know. And you're going to react to the good, the bad, and the ugly, as you should. You're fans. We get that. And I can tell you, I'll go on record to say we're not going to go undefeated this year. There's going to be, you know, I've been a part of MLS seasons for many, many years. It's a grind. And there's going to be moments where we're going to be in great form. There's moments where it's dipping. But I can assure you that behind the scenes, we're going to do everything we can to give ourselves a chance to be successful each and every time we play. And that's all we can tell you, and that's a matter of trust. And we appreciate your passion. I appreciate the passion of all the supporters. And you just have to understand that it's a process. And so we're going to go through it together. We're all in this together. I said this to Steve last night in our group that are starting to work together. We are all in this together. As a community and as a supporters group and as a team. So that's the message I would leave.
So we're here for a Q&A with our new coach. Do you have any questions from the audience? Yes.
Thank you. Coach, I was here in March earlier for the Q&A last time.
Yes.
Great to see you again.
Good to see you too.
Being an aspiring coach myself, working within the classic system of NCFC, a lot of the kids that I coach now were very excited to hear your name as a new head coach and really made them want to work harder and harder to become a player under you. Taking words back to them, what is some advice I can give to them from you to kind of keep their competitive nature going so that they can not only try to one-up each other to get to the highest level, but yet still pull themselves with them?
Well, thank you for those. That's very nice of you to say that. You know, I my message is pretty consistent when I have questions like that. I think development, you know, it's about challenging yourself and challenging one another and being in, hopefully, within a coach's grip that puts these guys, your guys and gals, in an environment to be challenged every day. And you know, I have children who played soccer. You can't force it. It's got to be organic, but if the environment's right, if the passion is there, and there's a way to challenge yourself each and every day. I made a comment earlier that in front of my house growing up, I had these bushes that were about, you know, 3 yards apart. I had seven of them, and every day I'd go through it and time myself. I mean, I didn't need a partner to do that. I had a ball and bushes, and so I think we've lost that a little bit. So I think having the commitment, having the passion, being able to challenge yourself, and understanding there's going to be good days and bad days.
Hey, good evening, Dave.
Good evening.
Welcome to our club. Welcome to our city.
Thank you.
So I might be a little long-winded here, but I have some concerns to the direction the club is going right now. I understand you just got here yesterday, and you're in that position now to make some change far, right? So give you a little context to my question. So Memphis FC signed two Trinidadians and one Jamaican, right? Yeah, I see some laughter. So I'll ask this question to my friends. So all three of those players, they play in the top division in Trinidad and Tobago, and two of the Trinidadians played against the United States when we lost, when we got knocked out of the World Cup qualifying, of the World Cup. So my real question here is, what can you, as a coach, do to bring in the experience for players that play in the Caribbean, that play for the CONCACAF, Champions League, that sort of stuff, to our club here? Because right now we're kind of lacking that diversity, if you will. And I understand that we sign players from Africa and those sorts of places, that have some experience, but my real question is the experience that we're lacking with regard to CONCACAF Champions League players.
Yeah, I mean, I think players come from everywhere. You can find players that can help your team from everywhere. If you're being specific about CONCACAF, I would tell you that it would be an area for sure that we were going to explore. I think whether it's Central America, whether it's certain parts of South America, you know, we get letters each day from agents representing players from everywhere. So I am completely an open book in terms of finding players that can succeed here. You know, I think I have a lot of connections in my experiences, and people kind of know my style. So there, we may be getting some calls from different agents about players and say, you know what, I kind of like the way Sarakin's team's played. He'd like to play for you. So there's a lot of different ways that you can sort of identify players. And then, you know, the other challenging part is having the right balance within your team. You know, that's another way to look at it. So if I brought in 10 Jamaican players, I'm not sure that makes sense.
No,
and I don't mean that. Okay, let me make sure I'm clear. I love Jamaica, and I love the Jamaicans. I recruited Damani Ralph, who was the Rookie of the Year for me in Chicago. I use that as an example that you've got to have the right mixture. So we are looking, and CONCACAF, we're not excluding CONCACAF.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Question. More questions?
Hey, Coach, I was just wondering if you had a chance to talk with Paul Riley from the Courage, and if there's anything that you can learn from the experience that they've had since they moved here in the last few years.
That's a good question. Unfortunately, Paul, I don't think he's in town. He might have been in Liverpool today, actually, I think. I haven't had a chance to, but I know Paul. And when I was here in March, we had dinner or lunch, I think, and joined Paul. So I'm looking forward to meeting Paul now that I'm going to be here and him being here. And, you know, so I've learned a lot from many different coaches. A guy like Paul with his experience and his experience specifically here with the club will be helpful to me. Despite it, he's on the women's side and I'm on the men. It's still the game of football. It's soccer. So I'm looking forward to catching up with Paul and getting his perspective of things. So, no, I haven't yet.
So, Six Point Weekend is a group podcast that pretends to talk about NCFC and Courage. And as someone that has lived in this state his entire life, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, what is your go-to barbecue sauce and why is ketchup-based the superior option?
Woo! It's not. Okay. Well, I hate to answer a question with a question, but you asked me that, and then they're saying it's not. So what is the debate?
Vinegar versus ketchup.
Mustard is not an option. Well, I would lean towards more of a vinegar-based. Lean that way. Yeah. But I will say that I've become more of a plant-based eater, so I don't eat it as much anymore. But now that I'm here, I better start having a little bit.
So he did open the door. We are actually a food podcast. He's right. So my question for you is that you coached in Virginia. So
I did.
Have you been to Cookout?
Cookout.
Yes.
I don't recall it. No.
Does he look like he's been to Cookout?
How long has it been there for many years?
Well, it's a local food chain, fast food chain.
I have a
milkshake. Yeah.
No, I haven't.
The question was going to be what your go-to tray was, but we'll have to say that for another time.
Okay, fair enough.
Is that Charlie Norcus?
Is that? As somebody who has been with the national team for a while, so it's kind of a two-part, what's your first thoughts about Christian going to Chelsea, and what's the thoughts that you have for American players trying to develop? Is it MLS? Is it going overseas? What's the best for us to finally break through and go past the final eight?
Yeah, good question. Obviously, this was a massive signing, Christian, going to Chelsea for the amount of money that was involved, for the high profile of the club that was involved. This was record-breaking, right? And it's a real feather in his cap. It's a feather in U.S. soccer's cap because, you know, Christian, he's a special player. And my hope, and if they're laying out that kind of money, I would believe that they're going to play him. But the hope is that he is a main fixture for them, because I get asked this often about players: should they stay in MLS? Should they go overseas? And it's such an individual question that I don't have a standard answer, because I know a lot of young Americans that thought that they could make it in Europe and they go there for the allure of playing in Europe and they don't play and their development gets stunted. And there's even young Americans in Major League Soccer that aren't getting the minutes. And so my answer is always to be in the best environment where you're being appreciated and you play and you accumulate minutes in the environment you're in. So we have a number of young Americans now based in Europe that are making great strides. And obviously the competition day in and day out. I will tell you this, I'll share this with you too, is so the last two games that I was a part of for the national team, we played England at Wembley, as you may have followed, and then we played Italy. And that game was in Belgium for different reasons. But and the team we played in England was not their first team. It was a mixture. And the gap was frightening to me in terms of strength, speed, power, experience, technical ability. The English group versus my group. Now, saying that, we had the average age of 22. We had young guys who were very nervous on the night. But each and every one of those English players plays every weekend in the Premiership. Every weekend. And that goes such a long way in that development. So there's still a gap there. We're getting closer, but that was an eye-opener to me. So to come around to the beginning of your question, wherever these players are placed, as long as they're being pushed and trained well and getting minutes, I'm all for it. Wow, brought the group down on that one.
Hi, Coach.
Hello.
As a high school coach, I often wonder what you're looking for at your level. I wonder about what college coaches are looking for at their level as well. When I have players who individually are little messies and want to just go off and take off and do it all on their own and score with great footwork, etc. And then I have other guys that are really into the tactics and the set pieces and so forth. As a high school coach, what should I emphasize with my players?
Oh, boy. I mean, you know, I'm a big believer that, you know, I've known a lot of players who are great with the ball when they're just juggling, but now they get in a game, they can't play. I think, and again, we don't have the time for me to go through my one-hour preaching moment, but I think sometimes we overcoach these kids. I think the game has got all the answers. And so the environment they put in where they have to make decisions within the game furthers their development. Now, of course, they have to be competent with the ball. They have to have technical skills. But, you know, even if you're a defender, the art of defending is lost. Teaching how to get your feet right and how to set your feet and how to approach with different angles. So there's so much involved, but it comes from my philosophy. It comes from the game. So in my training, we do a lot of playing, a lot of decision making. So at the high school level, of course, you do a lot of technical work, I hope, and a lot of these kids are comfortable with the ball, but put them in an environment where they got to make a lot of decisions. And I think their development, they're either going to make it or it's going to be too tough for them. All right, we're back.
We are back. Some of my friends have left. because they know me. But in reality, you know, our club, we've had some success in the past. We look at some Open Cup runs that we've had, you know, against the Galaxy. But in recent years, we've been in a state of mediocrity. So my question to you is, you know, how are we going to move past that mediocre performance that we see time and time again every year?
Well, as I said to you before, we're a better team, and I'm a better coach when you have better players.
Hey, no wonder you're friends with that.
Steve, I'm sorry.
That's awesome. That's good. So, I think what I was saying is, you know, you get players that buy in, that are good players, that you feel can fit the right position within your team. You know, I looked at statistics within this group, and we gave up a lot of goals last year. And I think when we talk about that, it's not just on the goalkeeper, and it's not just on the back four. It's on a collective. And one of the things I said today in the press conference was, we have to be a hard team to play against, hard team to score against, hard team to play against. And when you can be that kind of team, and then on the flip side, be a team that can create and get forward with some speed and some quality, the balance of winning and losing gets better. And so one of the big priorities in my feeling with this team is we need to strengthen our back line. We need to, I think we have a good goalkeeper in Alex. I think we need to bring another one in to challenge. And I think we have to have a real collective mindset to make it to be a hard team to play against, especially at home, especially with you guys there. You know, when teams come here, we have to be a team that doesn't lose at home. And so it's a combination of all that. You know, the resources are what they are. The setup is the setup, and it's our job to make the pieces fit.
We have time for one more question. That's not from Sterling.
Okay. So we have the four major soccer powers in the state with UNC, Duke, NC State, and Wake Forest. We have a youth system with 20,000 strong. We have a professional men's team and a professional women's team. What do you see from all these things coming together, coming straight at you as a coach?
Well, it tells me that this area is booming with soccer. It's talent rich. I don't think people around the country realize what North Carolina has and what this area has in terms of the number of programs, high quality programs. For me, I want to retain a lot of these people. I want a lot of these players that maybe finished their careers at the schools you mentioned that want to stay and play for North Carolina Football Club. I want to develop players within our club that see a real pathway from being 14 and 15 and 16 and looking at our product and saying, you know, I want to play for North Carolina Football Club because I think the infrastructure's there. And again, that's a process that's going to take some time. So that's one of the things that sort of brought me to this part of the country is that I think it's an area that is rich in soccer talent and enthusiasm and energy. So I hope it can translate by getting a lot of those people to one day play for this club.
All right, Coach, I have one last question for you, so a little on the fun side. So this is a chance for you to meet us and the York City supporters. My question for you is if you've heard anything in passing about the Dead Whale nickname for the club, and what's your initial impression on hearing that?
Well, my son was telling me about it, but you'll have to refresh. I know about the... There's a whale site where bones are, that kind of story, yeah. But you can fill me in a little more. I don't know the pure details.
So the background was, and correct me if I get any of this wrong, please. So the background was that the museum used to bury whale carcasses on the site where Salem Stadium at Whitman Soccer Park is now. And they used to bury them there because, I'm just going to go off on the science tangent here. So they would bury them because it would allow them to purify the skeletons and to get all of the stuff off of them and have them for display and for study. And so we found out about it and finding out the site that where we play now used to be quote-unquote whale graveyard. So you know what? Why don't we embrace dead whales? Because we do embrace sustainable fishing and not whaling. But we support dead whales. And we just kind of ran on and ran with it with the club. And so
I like it.
We just like kind of shout, come on, you dead whales, every weekend.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you for clarifying that. I think that's awesome.
We're so
that's awesome. Thank you.
Great question. So... lastly, about stories here, Jonathan Duren came to a game, sat across from you all, and said, I want to be one of you, and now he is part of this great program. So, Jonathan, thanks for wanting to do that and being a part of this. Here for our main man, Jonathan Duren. 6 Point Weekend Podcast, and finally, as you... do any research on Dave Sarakin. He is a man of high integrity, high morality, who is revered by everybody that works with him. He is our coach, Dave Sarakin.
Thank you.